Well, hello once again, and welcome to another radio broadcast from the Just Jesus Network. Ooh, battle site for Christ here. Ooh, how I love to be with you these days. Ooh, I'd love to be with you every day if I could, but time or currency does not permit this. But I pray that what's said here today will have lodging in your heart, and that you will consider it. You will look upon it, maybe listen to it again and again, because it really means a lot, not so much to me, but who loves everybody that believes in God, but God Himself, God the one who's to be lifted up, God is the one who's to be glorified, not me. I mean, I can go on writing messages and doing them day after day after day, and I've been doing it for years, but you know what? It's for Him. It's because this is a ministry He's given unto me. Okay? Would you listen as we deliver today's message? It's called Cults. Cults. There's never been a more cursed and blasphemous word anywhere at any time. Cult. A cult, well, a cult points in every direction that is not excessive by nature, you know what I mean, and usually leads to no good. That's what a cult does, leads to no good. Cults do not necessarily require leaders, although many have them. You may recall Charles Manson, Jim Jones, David Koresh. They're among some of the big ones who brought cults into the land and had a lot of people destroyed. Yes, they did. They sure did. But you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that these things had to happen. But you know, God knew they were going to happen. It's not like, well, God just closed His eyes and said, well, let them go to it. No, that's not it at all. People who believe they can lose their salvation, you know what? Well, they can rightly be called a cult. They can. And I know a lot of people that believe they can lose their salvation. But to believe such is to blaspheme the Word of God and call Him a liar. That's what it is. My friends, the biggest problem people who read the Bible have is all wrapped up in this one verse of Scripture. Listen carefully. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here, my friends, is what we must study. Number one, is the word of God talking only to Israel or to everyone, everywhere? There is a difference, you know. Number two, is the biblical reference applicable to both the age of grace and the kingdom age? Determine this first, and then you're on your way to a greater understanding of God's Word. For example, the Old Testament refers to Israel as God's chosen people. The New Testament calls Christians the children of God. Okay, makes sense. All others are of, and I don't like this line at all, but it's true. If you're not a child of the King, then you are of your father, the devil. Your father, the devil. Now that might rub you the wrong way, but I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. And if you're dying to find out, you will find out after you do die. Now, do this, and you won't be ashamed, and you will rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. That's what God wants us to do, isn't it? Rightly divide the word of truth. Of course, if If you're a John Hagee type, things may appear somewhat out of whack. John Boy sometimes mimics the Old and New Testaments in such a way it almost suggests that God is the author of confusion, and he is not. John seems to think that Sunday is the Sabbath. It's not. Saturday is. Also that we are all children of God. We are not, unless we repent and believe in the gospel. And he even hints of losing our salvation. Good night, John Boy. Good night, I say to you. Wow. The Bible calls them idols, and rightly so. Does God hate idols? Well, let's look at Exodus, the most direct answer. Exodus 20, verse 3, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sounds plain enough to me. Idol worship. Verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Sounds plain enough to me. And verse 5, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Well, that's sure plain enough, all right. That's idols. If they're not of God, then they're idols. Anything that's an idol before God is an abomination in his sight. And if you worship it and get others to worship it also, then guess what? You are a cult. That's right. You are a cult. Wow, that must hurt a little bit. Well, you know, there's a lot of them around. There's a lot of them. But they're not always easy to pick, to find out, to uncover. You know what? Remember this. An idol is anything, not just a person, or a statue. An idol is anything that supersedes or sets itself or himself up in a place that ascends to or tries to ascend beyond the God of the Bible. Beyond the God of the Bible. Now, this is really going to rub many of you the wrong way. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Okay? Any Bible that does not agree scripturally, word for word, with God's preserved, infallible, inerrant word is what? Undeniably cultish. A cult. Okay? The NIV is cultish. The NASV is cultish. The Message is cultish, and so on, down the list, hundreds of them. If it's not totally of God, preserved and inerrant, well, in other words, if it's not the authorized 1611 King James Bible, then you could have the work of Satan, and you are in total disobedience to God. Oh boy, I can hear them hollering out there now. What? Right? Who does he think he is? I'm nobody, just another sinner saved by grace. You know what? God only wrote one Bible. Only one. He didn't write 100 or more. And said, here, pick one. One that suits you the best. No, God didn't do that. God wrote one Bible. And one alone. Now, let's go a little bit further. Now, I did not say, I want to make this clear, I did not say you were unsaved and going to hell, okay? I did not say that. I'm not your judge. Because many Bibles still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, everything else is sinking sand. Sinking sand. You are playing with fire. Oh. Okay, the Catholic Bible. Okay, I used to be a Catholic. Now, the Catholic Bible is very similar to the 1611 King James, which I believe totally in today, after I got saved, of course. Having spent 43 years in a Catholic church and believing I was going to heaven simply because some priest told me so. Although I might spend more time in purgatory, gave me much to know about the world's biggest cult. All this time I spent in Catholicism furnished me with a lot of information about themselves, the world's biggest cult, Catholicism. That's what it is. I learned the hard way. I learned at a very young age. Now, wait a minute, you're saying. Wait a minute, preacher. Many preachers have said, especially those who agree with Billy Graham and Rick Warren, that the Catholic Church is not a cult. Why? Because it acknowledges the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, so does Lucifer. So did Judas. So did Jim Jones and David Koresh. What happened there? Let's go over this a little bit more. What is a cult? Well, some of the characteristics are the Bible is not their final authority. Their final authority. 1 Peter 1:21. The Pope is their final authority. Now, if you go to 2 Timothy 3, read verses 16 and 17, it will help to enlighten you in this matter. Second, cults elevate some kind of leader above Jesus or God or the Bible. In today's world, the Pope is the elevated one. He's the elevated one. And I ain't going to get into what's going on over there in the Vatican. I knew it all before, but it's just now coming out with the dirty wash water. Yes, it is. You know, cults often claim special revelations from God. Oh, yeah. That's why they do things their way, figuring they got a special revelation, right? Revelation 22:18. The Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ on earth. And his interpretation of the scriptures is infallible. Wherein the Bible says that no scripture is for private interpretation. The Pope says that laymen are not able nor allowed to read the Bible and try to interpret the scriptures. Only, get this now, only his priests can do this. Isn't that interesting? 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the word of God says. The Catholic Church believes that Peter is the cornerstone of the church and the first pope. The first pope. The Catholic Church worships idols. There's no greater belief in this on this planet than the Catholic Church when it comes to idol worship. They worship Mary. They worship Peter and all the beatified saints. And that sainthood can only be chosen get this, sainthood can only be chosen by the Pope and have nothing to do with the redeemed in Christ. Nothing to do whatsoever. Only God can make you a saint. Did you know that? Only God. But you have to come to Him before He can do it for you. You get that? You must believe in what happened at Calvary. You must repent, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you become a saint of Almighty God. It's not done by a panel of idol worshippers and child molesters. Cults also use the possibility of salvation to spook people into submission. If you obey me, then it will please God, they say. I am God's representative. If you obey me, no matter what they ask you to do, and there's a lot of right bad things they ask you to do, it will please God. That's what they say. Many cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Cults will not preach the whole counsel of God. Cults preach that giving of special gifts above their tithe is a way to buy your way into heaven. What happened to the poor guy down the road who couldn't work, couldn't supply any tithes, but believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is he not going to heaven because he couldn't support the church? Come on. Cults preach this, that giving of special gifts above your tithe is a way to buy into heaven and gain special treatment from God. Hogwash, hogwash, and hogwash. Cult leaders claim divine election. Divine election. Well, whoopsie-doo. They specialize in choosing the insecure and weak-minded. Again, Charlie Manson, Jim Jones. That's what they did. That's what they did. Cults are, pardon the terminology, cults are like Chicken Man. They're everywhere. And gullible people, unfortunately, are everywhere also. Just drawing this in because it's what they want. It doesn't deny them to live in their sinful estate. No. To avoid cultish propaganda, may I suggest that you read and believe and pray according to the Word of God, the Word of our true God, not somebody else's God. Our true God and Savior. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that He suffered and died and shed His precious blood for the remission of our sins and rose again from the dead on the third day, guess what? Then you shall be saved. Now, don't just mull this over in your mind and say, well, if that's all I got to do, hey, that's no big deal, I can do that. So what do? You do it. You repeat those words. You believe in Jesus Christ, that He suffered and died, bled and was tortured and nailed to the cross. And then you go on with your regular lifestyle. Come on. That's mocking God. No. It says here, the word of our true God and Savior, the word of our true God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, now, you've got to understand that if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you believe that He suffered and bled and died, for the remission of your sins and rose again from the dead on the third day, then you shall be saved. You know, salvation is the easiest thing you can do, can achieve. But it's got to come from the heart. You can't just say it because you read it somewhere or because someone told you to. Salvation is of the heart and the soul. If you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, then I say to you, rest assured, the Holy Spirit will guide you in truth concerning God's word, and cults will not be a factor in your life. No, they won't. Cults will not be a factor. Now, you might listen to this over again. I don't know. But, you know, cults are one of the greatest obstacles that remain and will remain until the return of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Everything that's amiss right now, what's going on in the media with the actual slaying of children right at the moment of being born. What do you think God thinks when He sees this going on? But it doesn't matter to you, does it really? Because you don't believe in God anyway, right? I mean, I'm not a politician, but I watch the politics very carefully. And when they deny God, literally, and put Jesus to an open shame, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes or boots for anything in the world. No way. You see, God had a plan. God had a plan right from the very beginning. But He gave mankind, and this includes women, He gave us free will. Why? Because He doesn't want you to feel like you have to, because I said so. He wants you to do it because you want to. Now, I heard a guy say once, well, I'm a Catholic, you know, and I believe in Jesus Christ. He died at Calvary, you know. But, I mean, I just put that in the back of my mind, and then I got on with my life. You know, I had lots of things I had to do. And, you know, some of the things that the Bible calls sin, well, you know, they're just stumbling blocks along the way in life. You know, and you don't have to take them so serious. Okay, if you think, well, you sinned because you did something terribly wrong, you stole a cross out of the Catholic Church or something. But hey, you know what? Your sin is forgiven if you come to the cross and ask for it. Ask that it be forgiven. You see, God knows all your sins anyway. But if you deny Him, if you say, look, God, I love you, I need you, I want you, and I want to be in heaven and glory with you when the day is finished, prove it to Him. Believe in Him. That's all He's asking, is for you to believe. He's not asking you to go out into the world and, you know, do many miracles. He does the saving. You do the believing. Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price for all of us, for you, for me, for him, for her, everyone in the world. Our blessed Savior. Jesus Christ is His name. Now I'm going to close with this. You know, you might be saying, well, you know, this guy is just making too much of a good thing. You know, I believe what he's saying to a degree, you know, and yes, it's probably true, you know, but still, you know, we don't have to be, you know, idiots and go around, you know, standing on street corners, passing out pieces of paper saying, hell, and, you know, you're going to hell if you don't believe in this or that. I mean, I believe, but I keep it to myself. I don't go out and, you know, start causing a nuisance among the people. Well, you better start it now. Because if you don't, then you don't believe. You only think you do. And there's a lot of thinkers around that aren't going to heaven. And they can cry at the doorstep as long as they want, and they'll not be allowed to enter in. God will rebuke them. He will deny them. There is no way they can get past, if you will, the pearly gates. Look, God loves this world. He made this world. But He gave us free will. Free will. That we make up our mind. Do we want Him and glory in heaven? Or do we not care that we believe that once the body is dead, that it's gone, disappeared? A lot of people get burned, have their ashes, you know, and have their ashes thrown out in the sea, thinking that God can't gather it together, put you back in the body again, and have you suffering and burning in hellfire. He can, and He will, if you deny Him. I pray you won't deny Him. Thank you again for listening. God, have mercy on your soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.